Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Let's just go ahead make a victory confession. Today I'll be talking on divine transformation. Can we just say that together? Divine transformation. Okay, let's just pray. Father, we thank you for an opportunity to listen to your word. We just concentrate on you. Speak to us, Lord. Let your word penetrate deep into our hearts. Let your word lift us up. Let your word transform us. Holy Spirit, we need you. We acknowledge you in this place. Lead us. Speak to us. Transform us. In Jesus' name. Amen. So let's go ahead and say a victory confession together. Let's do that. My Bible is the written word of God. The word of God is true, alive, and powerful. I meditate on the word. I believe the word. I confess the word. I practice the word. I am what the word says I am. I can do what the word says I can do. The anointed word will set me free. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Amen. Let's also in the same way pray this prayer for revelation. Let's pray together. Dear Father in heaven, grant me spiritual wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Jesus Christ. Grant that the eyes of my heart be flooded with light. Grant me to know the hope of your calling in me. Grant me to know the riches of your glory in me. Grant me to know the unlimited greatness of your power in and for me. I fervently ask for all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Divine transformation. Can anyone tell me what is anyone here who would who wants to be transformed? Anyone wants to be transformed here? You want to be transformed? Yes. Okay, so I have a question for you. Why do you want to be transformed, and what does transformation mean to you?
Transformation is change. And I want to be transformed into Christ's image. I want to be changed to be like Christ. I know I'm very far from being like Christ. That is why I want to be changed to be like him.
Thank you very much for that. Is any other person wants to be transformed? I want you to know what you want to be transformed from to. Okay? I want to be transformed. You're right. We all want to be transformed in one way or the other. Okay, but are you willing to share what you want to be transformed? What do you want to be transformed from and to? Just a specific thing, not too many things, just one thing. Can you find one thing you want to be transformed from and one thing you want to be transformed to? Yes? Anybody?
I guess for me it's to be, I want to be transformed to be a better person and to fulfill the purpose of God for me in this life. So just to struggle to be better in everything.
Thank you. Thank you for that. And you agree with that, yes? Exactly. So you're right. So basically, by asking the question, I just wanted to go over the definition. And again, what you said, everybody needs transformation. In fact, there's nobody in this world that doesn't need transformation. For those who are not yet Christians, they need to be transformed to be Christians. For those who are Christians, they need to be transformed to become like Jesus. Basically, why Jesus? Because Jesus is the Son of God. Jesus is the perfect man. Jesus is a supernatural man. Jesus is the last Adam. So we all want to get better. We all want to get stronger, healthier, more successful. You know? So we all want to go higher and not lower. That's transformation. And today we talk about divine transformation, which basically talks about the power of God working in your life to change you to become more and more like Jesus. Amen. Okay, so let's open your Bible to Matthew chapter 4. Matthew chapter 4 is the first place I'm going to look at today. And you know that part of the Bible, but let's read it again. Matthew chapter 4, and I'll read verse 1 to 4. Matthew chapter 4, verse 1 to 4. Actually, I'm happy for someone else to read it. Matthew chapter 4, verse 1 to 4. Okay? Shall I let you read it for starters? Yeah.
Then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And after he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he then became hungry. And the tempter came and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, command that these stones become bread." But he answered and said, "It is written, man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God."
Amen. You see that? He said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. You see, I want you to understand that, you know, when you, as you grew up as a baby, you know, if you know babies, and you will soon know more and more about that, yeah, you will find that the language of babies from the time they are born is food. The instinct is food, yeah? The first instinct is food. Everything is about food. Okay? Food, food, food. Okay? If a baby is crying, the first thing you check is the baby hungry? The next thing is nappy. Is the nappy wet? You know? Those are the two main things. Hunger, wet. Hunger, in, out. In, out, in, out. Okay? Do you understand that? And that same mentality grows with all of us as we go through life. We feel that life is all about meeting your needs. You know? When the bread there is not only the physical bread, he's talking about the money to pay your bills. He's talking about, you know, the transport you need to move about, the clothes you need to wear, you know. Everything you need in this world, physically speaking, is bread. But God is saying that you thought that all you needed to do was to spend all your lifetime fighting and toiling hard for bread. But there is a better way. There is a better way. God made the heavens and the earth. He's the one that made us. He's the one that made you. You know, he has the manual to fix every part of your life. And as the Bible says, that actually, you are not supposed to spend all your life toiling after bread. Because that bread will perish. It lasts not forever. If you have a new dress, it will get old, you need to get another one. If you have the latest shoe, it will get out of fashion, you need to get another one. Okay? If you earn some big money, you will spend it anyway. You will need to get something else. Okay? If you eat food in the morning, you're going to get hungry in the afternoon. Not even the next day. Do you see? See, there's something more important than bread. And that's the word of God. Why? Because God made you. Your life comes from God. Your life, the life that you live, comes from God. And so it's the word of God that can supernaturally sustain your life. And so really, it's a deception of our time to think that you will live by bread alone. It's a deception of our time to try to pursue all the pleasures that life can offer you, thinking that that's the life. Because all these pleasures you've been pursuing, you will enjoy them, then they will fade out, you will need them again. Okay? If you go to an holiday, a cruise in the Caribbean, you understand what I'm just saying? You know? It's gonna be a good, fun time, wonderful time and everything, yes, but it will finish. And you must seek it again. That's why the Bible talks about wine, that those who seek wine and drink wine and get drunk on wine, they have to seek it again. Do you understand? Nothing in this world lasts forever. But the Bible says that there is a part of you that God has, that is a part of you that belongs to God. It's your spirit. And that spirit feeds on the word of God. The Bible says that man shall live by every word that proceeds from the word of God. Like I say in this church, you cannot live supernaturally without the word of God. It's the word of God that enables you and emboldens you to live supernaturally. Hallelujah. And I say something about doctors. The day I found out that my doctor, yeah, is as vulnerable as I am in terms of sickness and disease, that's the day I found out that I cannot live just under the survival of doctors. Do you get me? Yeah? So, for example, if you were healed or you were not feeling well, you need a doctor. You need to go see a doctor, isn't it? But that same doctor, if he fell ill, he needs to see another doctor. He's a human being. He's not a God. You understand what I'm trying to say? The doctor is not a God. So, but you have God in your life. You have God living inside of you. And you can live supernaturally. You can walk on the waters. I'm not saying you should go and walk now. But if there was a need at the word of God to you like Peter, you can walk on the waters. You can live supernaturally. You can take authority over the elements in your life that are holding you bound. You don't have to be at the mercy of the devil. But you will be at the mercy of the devil if we're just living by bread alone. You will be at the mercy of the devil if you're just living a physical life, not a spiritual life. I want you to exalt the word of God to the very highest place in your life. The word of God is my first and foremost priority in life. Can you say that about yourself? That, you know, the first and foremost priority, the highest place of importance in your life is the word of God. When the word of God gets to that place, you can begin to live supernaturally. If in so long you still relegate the word of God to the background, you are just living a physical life, not a spiritual life. Do you see? You shall live by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. And as I'm saying that, before I move on, I just want to say, as I'm saying that, I understand that it's not just about the written word, the Bible. The Bible, just like that, without the Spirit of God, is paper. It's just paper. Just like any other book. Just like Harry Potter and the Philosopher's Stone. But it's the Spirit of God that brings the word of God to life. And so, you can't really say you're living by the word without a fellowship and a communion with the Holy Spirit. And I want to tell you that many times we neglect the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is a gentle spirit. So you say, yeah, the Holy Spirit lives inside of you, isn't it? It lives inside of you, yeah? So why don't you feel His help all the time? Why don't you feel His strength all the time? Why don't you feel His comfort all the time? Why? Because you don't acknowledge Him. Because you don't talk to Him. Because you don't seek His opinion. Because you don't seek His power. You don't take Him as a real person who is living inside of you. You don't commune with Him. If you commune more with the Holy Spirit, you will hear more from Him. He will lead you. He will strengthen you. If you appropriate, if you acknowledge His presence, when we come here, I welcome the Holy Spirit. I try to be conscious that the Holy Spirit is here. Because if we are not, we are neglecting Him. You know, imagine you sat in a place or you went to a place and nobody spoke to you. Nobody said hello. Nobody said goodbye. You know, nobody said, how are you? Nothing. They just completely ignored you. You're going to feel like nothing. You feel you're not welcome there. The same thing. The Holy Spirit is living inside of you. But do you acknowledge Him every day? When you go out, do you acknowledge Him? When you're going to bed, do you talk to Him? Do you talk to the Holy Spirit which is living inside of you? As you begin to combine the Word of God with fellowship with the Spirit of God, you have a spiritual life. You begin to live supernaturally. I don't want to just live a physical life. There are so many people who have lived before you. Did you know that? You know, all the pleasures you are seeking to achieve and all the greatness you are seeking to achieve in your life, there are many people who have come before you who have achieved more. So it's nothing new. In fact, let's assume that you even achieved the greatest greatness ever. It's still nothing new. It's not more than the physical life. The physical life has nothing much to offer. Only the spiritual life. Margaret Thatcher ruled and reigned. Yeah? But she's gone. Just like Winston Churchill, he's gone. Just like Adolf Hitler, he's gone. That's the physical life. But you live the spiritual life. Because you have Christ in you. The hope of glory. Amen. Can we say that together? Christ in me, the hope of glory. Amen. Let me just move on to, I just want to give you a quote there, something to shake you up. Okay. So I'm going to show you two quotes there. So first quote I'm going to give, just read that and think about it. I'll read it out. He says, a lack of spiritual hunger or thirst is a sign of serious spiritual sickness or lack of spiritual life. The only way to develop an appetite for the things of God is repentance. I just let you meditate on that briefly before I talk about it. So imagine in your daily life, yeah, you find out that you're not feeling hungry every day. You don't have any hunger. You don't feel hungry at all. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, you eat no food, but you don't feel hungry. Saturday, Sunday, you eat no food, you don't feel hungry. Yeah? If you had a baby like that, what would you do? Straight to the hospital. Something is wrong. Something is wrong. Okay? So if you do have hunger for the things of God, if you are not burning with an hunger for the things of God, it means that you are either sick spiritually or you are not alive spiritually. It's just the truth. Because a sign of life itself is hunger. Okay? If you have a living thing, a living being, you are going to feel hungry. That food you've eaten, you process it, and you must feel hungry again. And the only way to begin to have spiritual life, or to begin to have spiritual hunger, is what? Is repentance. You need to turn back to God and say, Lord, I'm sorry. Is that not one of the biggest words we like in the real life? Okay? There are three sort of important words. One of them is, I love you. Okay? People value that statement very much. Someone tells you, I love you, it means a lot. It means a lot because it places a lot of value on who you are. The next thing, one of the other things we want to hear is what? I am sorry. I am sorry. It's one of the three most common statements that people want to hear. I am sorry. And it's difficult to say many times, yeah? But that's exactly what can restore you to a place of spiritual hunger. You need to repent. You need to tell God, you know what? I've turned my back on you all these days. I've been going my own way, doing my own things. I'm sorry. And you know, sometimes you may feel that, oh, well, but I'm a Christian. I don't need repentance. Oh, you do. Because in so long you live in the flesh, you're going to get it wrong. Yeah? Your heart is still with Christ. But your ways may be wrong. Yeah? Because you're making mistakes. And it's because you're human. Okay? Someone said to err is human, but to forgive is divine. But what restores you is repentance. The problem is that if you're going wrong, if you're doing wrong things, and you don't repent of them, then you're going to lack spiritual hunger. You're going to think everything's okay, everything's alright. You know? I'm okay. You understand what I'm trying to say? When you repent, you realign your heart with Christ. You realign your heart with Christ. That's exactly what you want to do. You want to be always, like when you're taking a ship, okay? You're on a journey, on a ship, yeah? You're navigating, and you go a little off course, yeah? Just a little, let's just say 1 degree off course. Now, if you don't change that 1 degree off course, that little deviation, if you keep going that way, will become a very big, you know, deviation. Okay? Let's assume you're going to, where? Asia. Yeah? And your ship has a 1 degree off course. It may land you in America. Do you get it? And that's why you should realign yourself back. Repentance is a realignment with Christ. You need to go before God on an often basis and repent of where your heart is not right. I mean, where your ways are not right. Because that helps you, it restores spiritual hunger. We cannot take God for granted. Are you listening to me? We cannot take God for granted. When we deviate from the pathway of fruit, we must repent and realign ourselves. Because that keeps our spiritual hunger active. Okay? So to learn to say I'm sorry to God is one of the biggest things you ever learn to say in your life. Because it keeps the fire burning. But when you don't say I'm sorry to God, when you take it for granted, you find out that your spiritual hunger will go low. Okay, so just remember that. Remember that, and I'm telling you that from the very depth of my heart. Okay, let's open to another verse in the Bible. I'm going to open 3 verses today. So that's the second one, the middle one. The book of Luke, I'll let someone else read now. Luke chapter 9. Verse 23 to 25. Luke chapter 9, verse 23 to 25. Okay, so who would like to read now?
Luke chapter 9, verse 23 to 25.
And he said to them all, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, but whosoever will lose his life for my sake, the same shall save it. For what is a man advantaged if he gain the whole world and lose himself or be cast away? For whosoever shall be ashamed of me and of my words, of him shall the Son of Man be ashamed, when he shall come in his own glory and in his Father's and of the holy angels.
Amen. Thank you. Okay, you following that? So now Jesus is speaking to the crowd. I just want to give you the background to this story. This was not long after Jesus had fed the 5,000. So, you know, Jesus fed 5,000 men and probably 5,000 women. And then maybe if we do just one child per couple, 5,000 children, making at least 15,000 Jesus fed from the two fishes and five loaves. So Jesus was popular. Do you understand? Jesus was popular. So at that stage, Jesus had a lot of fans. Let me explain that again to you. At that stage, at this point of this story, Jesus had a lot of fans. You know, if it's in today's times, we say Jesus was already gathering a mega church. You got me? A big mega church. He had 15,000 followers. Who doesn't like food? Do you get it? He had fed them. They were happy. You know? They were happy. In fact, in one case, they said, forevermore give us this bread. They were happy. But Jesus has to speak to them and said, you are just a crowd of fans. You know? And the question I want to ask you today is that, are you a fan or are you a follower? Are you a fan of Jesus Christ or are you a follower of Jesus Christ? He said to the crowd, if any of you wants to be my follower, you must turn from your selfish ways. I just want to pause that. I just want to pause that and let you meditate on it. He said, if any of you want to be my follower, you want to follow Jesus, you want to follow Jesus, you have to turn from your selfish ways. You have to give up your selfish ways. You just have to give it up. Let me tell you something. Every human being that comes through this world is trained by nature to be selfish. That's our nature. It's the natural nature of man. We are all selfish beings. We watch only and mostly after our interest. But that's not the nature of love. Nature of love of God is selfless. Nature of the love of God is selfless. Sacrificial. And Jesus said, look, if you want to be my follower, you have to give up your selfish ways. Because if you don't, you can't be a true follower of Jesus. Remember that Jesus said he gave up his throne. He came down to die, to pay, so that we can have abundant life and eternal life. The same thing that if you want to be my follower, not just a fan, but a follower of Jesus, you have to give up your selfish ways. Turn from your selfish ways. That's repentance. Like I said, repentance means to turn. Turn from your selfish ways. Take up your cross daily and follow Jesus. It's a decision you make. Following Jesus is a lifetime decision you make. He said if you try to hang on to your life, you will lose it. But if you give up your life for my sake, you will save it. What is he saying there? He's saying that, look, you want to plan your life, isn't it? And you want your life to be a success, and that's the way it should be, isn't it? But if you try to do it yourself, it may make you lose your soul, ultimately. That's what he's saying there. That yes, you want your life. You want to, anybody doesn't want a good life. I don't know. We all want a good life. But you say, if you are going about it your own way, yeah, planning all your future and everything yourself, yeah, you may achieve your dream, but you may lose your soul. But if you give it up and let me be in charge, let me be the captain of your boat. Put me in the highest place. Put me in the place I belong. You know, I tell you one thing. I've worked with many Christians. Okay, I've worked with many Christians over many years, more than 25 years. What I find out is that after a while, people don't really let Jesus be the captain. They are running the show. They are Christians, yes, they call themselves Christians, they are fans of Jesus, but Jesus is not leading them. Jesus is not the one leading their life. They are leading themselves because they are not yielding to the leadership of Jesus. As a follower of Jesus, you have to let Jesus be in the center of your life. So say, oh, what makes your life tick is Jesus. I said, no, don't spiritualize. I mean, what makes your life really tick is Jesus. No, I mean, I'm asking you a realistic question. Someone comes and says, I'm a realist. Okay? Don't spiritualize it. What makes your life tick? But I'm telling you the truth, it's Jesus. Because he's actually at the center of my life. When I wake up, I'm thinking Jesus. When I sleep, I'm thinking Jesus. Because I am following Jesus. He is my king. He is my captain. He is leading my life. And that's what it means to follow. I just want to say this before we finish. Verse 26. I'm saying this here. And I'm also saying it to the pastors in the house. You know, so how many pastors do we have in the house? Maybe everyone is a pastor, you know, ultimately, you know, don't worry about how you see yourself today. I'm telling you how God sees you. You know, I told you about Abraham. God said, change your name. Even before he had a child, God changed his name. I'm talking to the pastors in the house. He said what? He said, if anyone is ashamed of me and my message, the Son of Man will be ashamed of that person when he returns in glory. I want you to understand that. There will come a time where all Christians, I'm not talking of the world. Jesus will judge the world, but the judgment of the world is already written. But we as Christians must stand before the judgment seat of Christ. Now, it doesn't mean you're not going to heaven. But when you stand before Christ, he will ask you, he said, what did you do with all the talents and gifts I gave you in this world? He will ask you. He said, if we are ashamed of him, we will face our shame. The Bible says, if we deny him, 2 Timothy, he said, if you, or is it 1 Timothy? I'm not sure, 1 Timothy or 2 Timothy 3. He said, if we deny him, he will deny us. He said, if we are ashamed of him, he will be ashamed of us. We will stand before that judgment seat and he will ask us, what did you do with all the time and the talents and the gifts I gave you? You have to give account one day. So there is an urgency. When you are following Jesus, there's an urgency to obey what he's telling you to do. And that's what I just want to say. Anything God has told you to do, take it with urgency, because the time is very short. The time is short. Every day you are getting older. Okay, let's just move on. I'll show you another quote. So quote number 2 there. Can we read it together? Let's read it together. Repentance is the practice of the righteous. We must constantly turn our hearts to God. From darkness to light, from the flesh to the spirit, from the temporal to the eternal, from death unto life. Let's just say that one more time, just so that we can meditate on it. Let's say it one more time. Repentance is the practice of the righteous. We must constantly turn our hearts to God. From darkness to light, from the flesh to the spirit, from the temporal to the eternal, from death unto life. Why? Why is it the practice of the righteous? Because we live in a fallen world. We live in a world full of temptation. Yeah? Nobody is immune to temptation. If you ever met someone say, oh, I'm now so spiritual and I'm so powerful, I cannot be tempted. Watch out, that man is going to be in trouble sooner or later. We live in the midst of temptation. Anybody can lose their temper. It doesn't matter how spiritual they are, because we live in the flesh. We live in the midst of temptation. And that's why when we miss it, when we deviate from truth, don't just sweep it under the cupboard. Repent! So that your spiritual life and your spiritual hunger is restored. It's very important that you repent. Turn your heart. Every time your heart is turning away, you know, towards the flesh, towards the temporal, turn it back to God and say, you know what? I am for you. I will live for you. Every day I live for you. I see many times, you know, people sing, every day is you I live for. And it's a nice song. But they're not really living for him. They are living for themselves. And that's the question I want to ask you today. Are you living for Jesus? Or you are living for yourself? Take that question home. Am I living for Jesus? Or am I living for myself? I just let's go to the last scripture. I use that to round up. This is where we read earlier on today, but I will just read it again. I'll let someone read it again. Matthew chapter 7, verse 24-27. Matthew chapter 7, verse 24-27. Okay, I'll let someone else read. Matthew chapter 7, verse 24-27. Would you like to read, Debbie? Just take it slowly.
From there. Anyone who listens to my teaching and follows it is wise, like a person who builds a house on the rocks, on solid rock, though the rain comes in torrent and the flood water raises and the winds beats against the house, it won't collapse because it is built on bedrock. But anyone who hears my teaching and doesn't obey is foolish, like a person who builds a house on sand. When the rains and floods came and the winds beat against the house, it will collapse and a mighty crash.
Thank you. Okay, so this, I'm just rounding up now. You see, the ultimate challenge then is, what are you going to do with the Word of God? Are you going to listen to a message like this today and just go back and continue to live your life like normal? Are you just going to go back and you remain just like live your life like a fan of Jesus rather than a follower of Jesus? Someone who has committed all to Jesus. Someone who Jesus is the captain of their boat. Someone who Jesus is the center of their life. The Word of God that you listen to cannot help you if you don't put it into practice. You know? If you don't put the Word of God into practice, it can't help you. If you put the Word of God into practice, you are like a wise man who builds his house on a rock. And I want to just encourage you this morning. Take the Word of God. Whatever God is telling you to do, whatever God is showing you from his Word, practice it. Be a doer of the Word. Live by the Word. That's what I'm trying to say. Let the Word be the first place in your life. Let your life tick by the Word. Because the Word of God is what will sustain your supernatural life. Do you understand? The Word of God is what will bring you into the fullness of your potential and destiny. Sometimes you feel that maybe if you actually give all yourself to your all to God, maybe your life is going to go down. No. By giving your all to God, your prosperity will come to its fullness. Because God made you, there is no better plan for your life than to walk in line with the purpose of your Maker. See that? So you practice the Word. I'm encouraging you. Practice the Word. Don't take the Word lightly. Don't take the Word of God lightly. It's the basis of your sustenance. Practice the Word of God. Practice the Word of God. Every day, every moment, practice. And if you find that you are deviating, repent. Repent and let your heart be aligned with Christ. Let Christ be the captain of your boat. Do not be a fan, or do not remain a fan. Be a follower of Jesus. And the Bible says that when you do that, you are like the wise man who builds his house on the rock. Because whether you like it or not, the rain will come. Hello? Let me just run on that basis. Let me run up on that basis. I want to understand. Whether you take the Word of God seriously or not, the rain will come. Whether you take the words of God seriously or not, the floods will come. Whether you take the Word of God seriously or not, the storms will come. The storms of life. They will come. They come to both the good and the evil. But if you take the Word of God seriously and you build your life on the Word, you practice the Word, when the rains come and the floods come and the storms come, you will stand strong. And my prayer to God for you is that you will stand strong. I'm committed to you. I love you from the very bottom of my heart, each and every one of you. I do really love you from the bottom of my heart. I could give out a lot. I can't say all, you know, because I'm not yet there, but I could give out a lot for you. I love you. You're important to me. I want you to live victoriously. I want you to succeed in life. I want you to triumph. I want you to be a conqueror. I want you to be a winner. I want everything good in this life and the life to come for you. And I encourage you, you know, live your life by the word of God and you'll be transformed in Jesus' name. Amen. Before I just pray, a round of a prayer, I just want to tell you, we started a prayer corner. So after the church, if you would need some personal prayer, we'll wait there for like 10 to 15 minutes. You can have some private time of prayer. I believe that when we come to church, it's an opportunity to get prayer if you need. And nobody's excluded. You can come there and be blessed. So let's just pray. Pray to God about what you've heard today. Thank him for his word. Thank you for the opportunity to have abundance and eternal life. And just pray that the Lord will give you grace to follow. Grace to follow Jesus. You need grace to follow Jesus. Tell God today that you don't want to be a fan, or you don't want to remain a fan of Jesus. You want to be a follower. Someone who has made a full commitment and who is living by the word of God. When you live by the word of God and you put it first place, it will transform your life. Please make sure you pray to God, and God will give you his power. In Jesus' name, amen.